Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and I'm your host, Celeste Duckworth. And today we have a really great show. I know that all of you are anxious to hear Laura C. Bullock, author of All Grown Up, The Road Less Traveled. And so in this book, Laura talks about the building blocks necessary to make grown-up decisions. We also have featured guests Pastor Simone Hawkins, who has launched her own ministry, Purity and Truth, a dynamic ministry that wholeheartedly believes that God is love and love wins. She teaches above all else, put on love. And also we have CEO Sean Pearson of Zion Institute, and it's a campus for small business incubation and a housing program for vulnerable populations, including veterans and formerly incarcerated individuals and those mentally challenged or mentally ill individuals as well. So I'm happy to have everyone on the program today. How is everyone doing? Hello.
Hello.
Well, good.
This is Pastor Simone Hawkins. Hello. I'm wonderful.
Great.
I'm so happy to have you all. I'm doing great.
Hi, Laura. Great to hear from you. And Sean, I have you as well.
Yes, I'm here. Good evening, ladies.
Okay, good evening, ladies. I'm so glad to have you on our program today. So just a little information, just don't be scared to speak up. And if the phone happens to drink, it is an internet program. It is live. And there are sometimes when the phone does drop. If it drops, just call us back in. We won't, you will be dialed right back into the program. So I'm glad to have everybody here tonight again, as I said. And we actually have a huge buzz and quite a few people listening. So welcome to our vertical audience. Thank you for coming today and listening to this timely message and program. So I'd like to start with Laura. One of the things is that I want to kind of go through this synopsis a little bit of the book All Grown Up. And then we'll be talking to Laura and Pastor Simone Hawkins and Sean Pearson. So the synopsis for All Grown Up, do you have the building blocks necessary to make grown-up decisions? And over time, we, you know, our values are shaped, our opinions and our beliefs are based on inputs that we've tapped into during our life cycle. So how can you be sure you will make the right choice at the right time for the right reason? Because we all start out in the same place at every level of life. All Grown Up, The Road Less Traveled, is filled with life-changing character-building blocks that will meet you right where you are. So I'm going to just leave that right there because I want to really talk to the ladies regarding this book. So Laura, let's start with you. Let's tell our audience a little bit more about you, who you are, and what you do.
Well, I can certainly do that. I'm a native Phoenician. So I'm not sure if everyone that knows me knows that. And I grew up right here in Phoenix, Arizona, went to school here, raised my family here, and started a career in the healthcare industry and worked there about 20 years before I moved into a life of purpose-driven work. And moving into a human services life, where I began to work a lot with women that were transitioning in various aspects of their life, whether it was from one career to another, whether it was facing some type of traumatic experience and trying to reclaim their position in life, or whether it's moving from corporate America into a place of purpose work, and just really pouring into these individuals, sharing the knowledge and experience that I've gained through my life's journey, and then inspiring them to really take charge of their life and really live into a place where they are choosing how they show up every day. And that is so important to me, because that was a transition that I went through, and that was a journey that I took on, where I really had to make a choice about how I show up, when I show up, and when I show up, how do people receive me? And so, you know, that's a little bit about me and my background, kind of how I got to this place, and I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more detail about that as the show goes on.
Okay. So let's talk to Pastor Hawkins. Pastor Hawkins, tell my audience a little bit about who you are and where you're from.
Yes, ma'am. I can certainly do that. Good evening, all. My name is Pastor Simone Hawkins. I, too, am a native, born and raised right here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have always been, for me, called to the place of love all throughout my life and throughout my journey. And I worked for the state of Arizona for almost 10 years. And, of course, in the Human Services Department with helping young ladies and families try to, you know, kind of break down the barriers and things like that. And then after so long of that and transitioning into the call on my life to spread the word of love and impute it into the people of God, and when I say the people of God, I'm not talking about the church in and of itself. I'm talking outside of the walls, mm-hmm. loving everyone as Christ loved us. And for me, that has been my mission and my goal in life, that, you know, no matter what comes and no matter what goes, and it takes a mature attitude and outlook in God to be able to love in spite of. And so it is my journey, my call, my heart's desire to impute the love of Christ into everyone I meet, everyone I shake hands with, hug, love on, because love is so significant in your moving pieces in life. You have to have that foundation to be all grown up.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. And now we want to talk to Sean Pearson. And Sean is the CEO of Zion Institute. And Sean, welcome today to our program. And Sean, give us a little bit of background on who you are and what you do.
Okay. I am a native of Indianapolis, Indiana, so I am a Hoosier at heart, but God brought me to Arizona in 2001, and the work of Zion Institute and the other ministries that I function in are really centered around transforming people, communities, and the marketplace. So in that regard, I do a lot of community organizing. I do also do Bible teaching and ministry. I do some coaching and consulting for women in leadership in business and in ministry as well. Zion Institute is the manifestation of a work that God has had me doing for the last 10 years, specifically in South Phoenix, to build up business enterprises and then also serve the most vulnerable populations of men that are in South Phoenix. And That includes our seriously mentally ill, our veterans, our formerly incarcerated men, our young men aging out of foster care, with the idea in mind that they would be equipped to lead when they leave the Zion campus. And so that is a work that afforded me the opportunity to meet and work with Laura Bullock for the last, my goodness, maybe 5 or 6 years. So I am blessed to know her and have had the opportunity to be on part of this journey with her and do some growing up myself in the process.
Well, thank you, ladies. I appreciate all of you introducing my audience a little bit more to who you are. And now I want to get to Laura. I want to ask you, so what motivated you to write this book?
Well, I have to tell you, this project actually started out not as a book, but just a collection of inspirational messages to myself. Encouraging myself that I was on the right track and becoming the woman I wanted to be versus who everyone else's ideas of who I should be. And that was a big challenge, and I think that's a big challenge in most of women today. And so it started out as this collection of inspirational messages to myself. And then as I began to share this inspiration with others that I was connected to, I quickly saw the value in bringing all of these messages together into something more than just notes. And so, you know, a lot of my inspiration came from my experiences. It came from wisdom that I gained throughout this journey. And then ultimately the call on my life to share these simple principles with those that it resonates with. And I think it was at that point that the book really started to take shape into something more than just a collection of notes. It stayed on the shelf. I have to admit, it stayed on the shelf for several years until I got very serious about sharing this message to people that needed to hear it. And I'm so inspired by our guests today because each of them have a special place in my heart. But also, I deeply admire and respect the women of God that they are and what that brings to my life, because what has happened for me is I have gone on this journey for several years now of becoming what I now am calling a grown up, because, you know, it's not just an age, right? It's not just an experience. It's a mindset. It's a way of life. It's being able to operate in a very mature state of mind. And so when I realized that the value of this collection of notes and inspirational messages that I had prepared for myself, I understood that it had to become more than that. And so I remember very vividly hearing a word from God that said to me very simply, he said, I want you to say it louder. I want you to say it to more people, and I want you to say it more often. And all I can remember is saying back to him is, say what? And he said, you will know when it's time. And I believe this book is that message that I'm supposed to say louder, I'm supposed to say it more often, and I'm supposed to, you know, say it to more people. And I can't do that if it's sitting on the shelf. So I realized that it had to become a book project, and it had to be able to get out to the masses, and I'm confident that this book is going to do that. So why? It's really, it was the call on my life to be able to deliver this message through the experiences that I've learned, the experiences that I've had, the wisdom I've gained, and the mindset that I've been able to move myself into so that this way of life becomes something that can be modeled and emulated throughout other women in this world.
Okay. You talk about in the book about some hands-on activities by using awakening and alignment principles. I want to go to Pastor Hawkins, because Pastor Hawkins, you wrote a little testimonial regarding All Grown Up about a conversation you had with Laura that she said you need to build a system to be able to stay in alignment. What does that mean for you personally?
personally, the alignment, a lot of times in life we get caught up and we get busy with a lot of convenient distractions. And a lot of times it knocks us off of our purpose and what we are actually supposed to be focusing on and moving forward toward our future in. And in that moment, she and I were sharing, and she was sharing the pouring out into my life as we've always done since we met. And there were some things that were really out of alignment for me in my life. It was a lot of chaos, confusion. It was a lot of things that I just couldn't put my finger on as to why I couldn't get certain things under control. And so when she said it, as simplistic as it sounded, it resonated in my spirit of everything that was out of alignment, and it actually put me in the mind of when a car is driving and the alignment is off, it shakes and it wibbles and it wobbles and it's not steady. And the consistency of being steady and being of that forward movement, that maturity that you need, it really, really, really helped me to line things up and to get rid of the convenient distractions and to actually realize that that's what was going on with me. So when she said it, it just opened my eyes to things that were out of alignment for me, and it helped me get back on track. Because even as a pastor, we get off track a lot of times, and we need that sound person that would come and help us in those areas in love and say, listen, sister, you've got to handle it like this. And my big sister, she takes care of me, and when she needs to give me those words to encourage me, to keep me going, to get me back. I was in a rough place when she said it. And she didn't even have a clue. And so it just really got me back on track with the purpose and getting my team built up to stay in alignment to continue on the journey that God has me on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I asked you that, and I love the way you answered that, because really, it's a journey to make to really work on ourselves personally. That really is a journey, and it's a bumpy thing. But I do like a part in her synopsis that I didn't really read to everybody. But there's a thing in here, Laura, where you said, "What if we could take a hard look in the mirror and acknowledge there are skills and characteristics required to make our own best decisions and not let the opinions of other or unhealthy behaviors drive our success." And I thought that was pretty poignant, because, you know, I think all of us at some time we look in the mirror and we don't really like what we see, depending where we're at
right.
in our life.
Right.
It's kind of like, yeah, you look in the mirror and it's kind of like you're looking at you like, okay, so what you gonna do, you know? So let me ask you, Sean, because I'm sure with the population that you work with, that it's very challenging. So how, for you, what does being in alignment mean to you? How do you, you know, align yourself and prepare yourself personally? How did you do that to be ready to handle the population you work with?
Well, the most significant part of it was discipline. And I'm very thankful to Laura, because those lessons that she learned, she models in our relationship. And so it was discipline, not just in my physical activities or my day-to-day operations, but an emotional discipline was required so that I could maintain healthy boundaries with each of the individuals that come in to be a part of the program, because Zion is a healing space for all who come here. And they all come with different issues from different walks of life, with different life experiences, and being able to be emotionally disciplined myself to exemplify an unconditional love for each and every one that comes through, but still have the structure and model the expectations that are needed for them to transition off of the campus in the spirit of excellence, having everything that they need, recognizing the areas of opportunity for development with them individually, but participating in that growth with them absolutely required both that emotional discipline and then a spiritual discipline. Although it is a program, actually several programs that operate on the campus, there was no cookie-cutter way for how we deal with and how we work with and support each of the individuals that may live here on the campus for a season. And so that spiritual discipline required that I spend time daily in communication, and I call it my daily board meetings with God. So every morning began with, what would you have me do today? What is it I need to hear and know and understand about what I'm going to face today, so that I can be a light to everyone that was on the campus. And so being a part of Laura's life and being part of one of those under her tutelage in the all grown up experience, it was that absolutely the emotional discipline that I was able to develop, as well as that spiritual discipline, and to keep that in constant practice so that I could do this work the way that God would have me to do it.
You said that you said something about that. You were saying that, you know, we don't, everyone doesn't have a cookie cutter experience. And part of one of your, looking at your book, Laura, you talk about, wouldn't it be great for all of us to have an instruction guide that positions us in the right mindset to overcome daily obstacles? I think we say that a lot. I mean, I always say, you know, you're not given a manual.
right.
You know, you're not given a manual for life. Okay, you're just not given that manual. And I've learned over a course of years that actually, you know, that manual, that really changes. It's like upgrading every, you know, every moment or whatever necessary that you're continuing to upgrade. You talk about that, you know, about awakening and alignment principles that have allowed you to aid in reshaping the lives of many people. What is one of those tools that you use? And, you know, give me an example of you know, how you use that tool.
Well, you know, there's several, but there's the one that I really want to talk about is courage. Courage is one of those things that, and I think it's a phrase that's highly overused, but not really understood. And courage and integrity, to me, kind of operates the same way, because courage, you need to have that when no one is looking. You need to have that, and it speaks to Sean's message about discipline. Courage is a discipline, right? And you must be able to stand up and stand in whatever that word is, regardless of who's looking, regardless of when it's happening, regardless of what time of day, what night, what location you're in. You must have the courage to do the right thing, to do the grown-up thing, even when you think you can justify whatever decision you want to make. So, for example, you know, I speak to women a lot, and a lot of times it's women that are going through very challenging relationships. And, you know, I hear a lot about revenge behavior, right? So because he did this, I'm going to do this. Well, the courage to say, I'm going to be true to myself regardless of how they behave, is a discipline. It's being able to say, I'm going to love myself unconditionally regardless of who is misbehaving or regardless of the behaviors of others around me. I know what's right for me, and I'm going to stand in that. And so one of the chapters in the book speaks a lot about integrity plus courage. When you face what I call the fork in the road, when you have to make a decision on which direction do you go, it's just you. It's you and God. And so you need to have discipline around, how do I make these decisions? How do I find the courage inside of me to make the right decision? The decision I know is going to take me where I need to go, not because it's popular, but because it's the right thing to do. So I think you know, when people are reading this book, they're going to find in every chapter a little nugget that says, oh, my God, that's me. Or, oh, I'm so glad I got that. But that next chapter is going to say, oh, shoot, that's me. Right? So I think what you're going to find is you're going to find these principles in the book that is going to challenge you to think about, how do I operate in life? And do I do it with integrity? Do I have the courage to make the right decision, the grown-up decision for the life that I'm leading, the journey that I'm on, the call that God has placed on me? Or am I going to fall victim to what everyone thinks I should do, or revenge? And whether the revenge is in a relationship or whether revenge is, I mean, we even take revenge out against ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. I made a bad decision last time. You don't know what you're doing. I'm going to do what I think is right, right? So we talk to ourselves like we're two different people. And so we have to make sure that discipline is in place. That's a practice. And I love the way Sean put it in her board meeting, right? We need to have our own board meetings every morning. You know, we can talk to God, and then we need to turn to ourselves and say, what are we going to do now? And that's where the courage and integrity comes in. What are we going to do now when we know what the right thing to do is, regardless of who's listening? So I think you'll find some of those principles in the book, it's a working book, right? So you're going to there's going to be some activities that you will complete in this process, because it is a journey of becoming all grown up and making grown up decisions. And regardless of where you are in your life, I think you'll find a place in this book where it's right for you, and that's going to guide you through decision making processes. And how do you operate? What does that discipline look like? What is that courage level that you need to make sure you're doing the right thing when no one else is looking?
What is the road less traveled, Laura? What does the road less traveled look like? Give us an example.
Well, first of all, you won't find many people on it, because
okay.
We all want to be grown up. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to
okay.
be grown up, but we don't want to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
We want to take the shortcut
mm-hmm.
to being all grown up, or I want to pretend I'm all grown up. Mm-hmm. But when you close the door and ain't nobody in there, I act very immature. I'm having tantrums. So we want to pretend to be grown up, but in order to really be grown
mm-hmm.
up, you got to go down this road. Ain't nobody down there. You got to bump your head a few times. You got to listen to people that are really giving you good instruction. There's a part in the book where I talk
mm-hmm.
about, how do we receive criticism? How do we receive feedback? You know, do we look at it objectively, or do we have a little tantrum off to the side and she don't know what she's talking about and who she thinks she is? You know, heads rolling, hands are flapping. But do we actually take that hard look in the mirror and say, can I really operate in a more grown-up manner? And so the road less traveled is really talking about that road of hard knocks that you have to go through to get this lesson. I mean, think of this book as a teaching tool. It's a timeless piece of work that never grows old. And so you will take this book with you on the road every phase of your life, every level of your life. And so you're not going to find a whole lot of people on this road. They are there, and it takes courage to go down this road. It takes courage to say, you know what, I may not know what the heck I'm doing. It may be you need to go to someone that you may not like very much, but they have what you need to get to the next level.
Mm.
And so you really
okay.
have to put your big girl pants on to go down this road.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So the road less traveled
well,
is a space where you don't go there often, but when you do,
uh-huh.
there's so much richness on this road, and that's where your inheritance lies.
Okay.
Your inheritance is on
Laura,
the road
are you
less
trying
traveled.
To say that that's a well? Would you are you trying to say that that's a hard road, bumpy road?
Oh, it's
not
an
easy
road,
road
for
if you
sure.
get in it. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, right. and you may even get halfway on the road and turn around and go back because it's too hard. And that happens.
Oh.
That's why this book is so timeless, mm-hmm. because when you relapse, you can go back to the book and get what you need to get back on the road.
Okay. All right. So now let me ask Sean. Now, Sean, you deal with a very vulnerable population, especially when you're talking about veterans, formerly incarcerated and seriously mentally ill, adult males, and I know it's males. So how difficult is it for you or your staff to really teach this alignment or teach these, give them the tools so they can make better decisions for themselves on going down that road less traveled?
I think the difficulty of it depends on the readiness of the individual to change.
Okay.
Most of the people that participate in the program recognize that they're here not just in transition, but in need of some level of transformation about the way they've lived their life. And they're ready for change,
okay.
and they're committed to that change process. And so those individuals you can have candid conversations with. We can be vulnerable and share our own individual testimonies and experiences about the journeys that we've taken along the way. And they receive it, and they ask questions, and they identify opportunities for change within themselves, and you move forward. And then you have those who are still of the mindset that there's nothing wrong with me, but there's everything wrong with the world around me, and the world just needs
uh-huh.
to adapt. And Zion is a tool for them to do a come up and not necessarily a transformation. Those individuals don't typically mm-hmm. last long on the
mm-hmm.
campus because
uh-huh.
it's an environment that holds a standard of excellence that is modeled by the rest of the residents, not just the staff, not just the ownership,
mm-hmm.
but everyone that lives here. It's a community of healing. And so everyone that's a part of it that is committed to that change helps us hold everyone else
mm-hmm.
accountable. And the ones that aren't ready
mm-hmm.
for that alignment, they stick out like a sore thumb. And
yep.
they're not really
mm-hmm.
comfortable staying. They're not comfortable
mm-hmm.
being here. It can be a very lonely place for them if they're not ready for the alignment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's interesting, too, because when you were saying that, you know, it's an environment where, you know, everyone holds you accountable, and I think that's probably something that's missing in a lot of individuals, that there's no one there to hold them accountable when they're making these decisions. So it's very easy to not choose the road less traveled. Pastor Hawkins, you talk about that your message in your ministry is above all else is to put on love. Can you tell me how putting on love can help an individual take that road less traveled?
Absolutely. I think I love the way the ladies put it in terms of the courage, the integrity. Love really boils down to the unconditional love of Christ for not just people, but for yourself. And it takes courage to do what most won't do, which is forgive. And
mm-hmm.
it meaning forgive yourself, forgive
mm-hmm.
those around you, regardless to how much it hurts. And it takes courage. It takes the mindset to say, no matter what, I'm going to continue to love. I'm going to continue not just to love myself, but I'm going to continue to love the ones that despitefully use me. I'm going to continue to push forward with whatever it is that I see or that God has shown me to be able to be a part of the body of love. The Bible says God is love, and without love, you don't know God. And so in order to be able to move forward in life on, and most people won't do it because if you get hurt, if somebody hurts you, they're afraid, and that's where that fear comes in. So they build the walls, they build the, and they make the excuses, and they justify their actions. And what love does is it makes you look in the mirror and consider yourself. It makes you look in the mirror and say, you know what? Make a choice or a decision, a grown-up choice or a decision to love and forgive and impute grace in order, because when you, what you sow, that's what you reap. And so in order for love to really work on your behalf, you've got to sow it. And God will open the doors. God will make the way. God will heal you. But again, you've got to want that transformation. You've got to want to be accountable for your own actions, because you're going to slip up. You're going to fall. But the Bible says my grace is sufficient for it all. But it all stems back to the foundation of love. And love carries us through times, seamless times, when we feel like the whole world has turned their back on us. It's the love of Christ that lifts us from those dark places. But we have to have the open heart and be willing to accept that love and impute that love back into the world.
I love it.
Okay.
Amazing.
And I'm going to ask this question for all of you to answer. You can all answer, give me your opinion. So, and, you know, and Pastor's talking about above all else, put on love. So what is the responsibility of, I would say, if you're a good friend or family and or even a coworker, what is your responsibility when you see a friend? And the reason I ask is because I know a lot of people feel they're walking in their purpose. A lot of people, but in walking in that purpose, what is their responsibility to others around them? And I know this, I know I'm making this a real general type question, but I think it's a question that, you know, I can get a opinion from all three of you. So let's start with Laura. What do you think our responsibility is, if I'm your friend, or if I say I'm your friend, or if I'm a family member, and I, you know, and I, let's say I essentially have grown up. So,
okay.
What is the responsibility
to ensure that you're grown up, or just in general?
Well, what is the responsibility? What is this responsibility to people around you? So let's just say for you and people that are coming into your space. What do you feel your responsibility is in this, you know, as looking as the person who has grown up, or who often makes the choice to choose the road less traveled? What is your responsibility to people around you?
Well, my responsibility is definitely to share my experience. I have kind of been labeled a little bit as a disruptor. Meaning status quo doesn't really work for me. So I often challenge people to be a little bit greater than what they feel they are, because I know they have the capacity to. My responsibility is also to help them, if it's present, help them work through very limiting beliefs, right? You know, I'm the best I can be, or you know, I love my job and it's great and I'm doing good. Okay, what are you doing for others? Right? So I'm always asking the question. My responsibility is to ask the question, to give that person an opportunity to check themselves and say, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Am I honoring myself? Because you can't honor others if you can't honor yourself. And so we all have a responsibility to be the best person we feel we can be. And for me, I feel like my job is to challenge you to be better than you think you can be. Because we all have this greatness in us. And I remember Sean said this to me one time, and I wrote it on my whiteboard in my office, and I look at it's still there probably 2 years later. And it said, and I'm paraphrasing it, but it said, stop diminishing your greatness.
Mm.
And really what she was trying to
okay.
tell me was to embrace the greatness of who I am. We downplay who we are. We downplay our excellence. We downplay our greatness so that we don't have to do more work than what
okay.
we feel up to doing. So it goes back to that road less traveled, right? We don't want to put in the hard work to be excellent. We want to offer this substandard part of who we are and say, this is all you're going to get. And my responsibility is to challenge that person to be greater than they feel they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so my life is centered around empowering women and inspiring women and men to be greater than who they think they are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I do every day.
Okay.
Ask the question.
Okay.
So is that the right thing? Or how did you choose that to be the right thing? And just give them an opportunity to step back and say, well, wait a minute, did I do the right thing? And if the answer is yes,
mm-hmm.
then great. But if it's not, how can I help you? How can I help you get
mm-hmm.
to that level of greatness that you want to be at? And so that's
okay.
how that's where my responsibility comes in.
Okay. And Pastor Hawkins, what would you say, because looking at your ministry and what you teach, what is your responsibility when a person says, I just can't get above, putting on the love. I just can't, there's people in my job and my family, and I've tried everything. How do I put on love?
Excellent question. My job is to present Christ in such a manner through love and kindness. To present Christ to others and let them know that no matter what walk of life they're on, no matter where they're at in their lives, no matter what choices they've made up until this point, there's still hope. There's still a love for you that Christ has that is unexplainable, and it cannot be topped with your profession. It can't be topped with your degree. It can't be topped even with yourself. My job, my biggest job is to offer Christ to people and to my sisters and my brothers. And my responsibility is to ensure that you're encouraged on today. It's to ensure even if you're having the worst day of your life and you're saying, no, forget it, I am not going to do this. My job is to find a way to impute the love of Christ, to energize you, to even say, yes, I believe that I can do this, or yes, I believe that I am great. I am who God called me to be. I am that woman, that man. I am who God says I am. But it takes that love and that security. And my job is to impute that and walk it out in front of them, demonstrating the love of Christ and testimony and through life experiences that no matter what you go through, God is going to be right there with you and his love will cover you. Love finds no fault. Love covers a multitude of sins, and that's a discipline in and of itself as a human because God can do it because he's God. And his son died on the cross, and but we have to understand that we too can forgive our brother. We too can move on and forgive ourselves for the bad decisions that we made. We too. And so every day, even if I make a bad decision, my testimony is, listen, I didn't make the greatest decision here, but I'm okay with telling you I didn't make that decision because now I'm making a better decision and I had to learn from that decision. But I have to be accountable for my actions. And I have to want to be accountable. And that's the other thing, too, as my responsibility to my brothers and sisters, is to demonstrate that characteristic of accountability, integrity, to demonstrate the love of Christ through love and kindness, imputing that. I tell people a lot of times, I just feel like I want to get a syringe and just inject the world with this love of Christ, because when you get that love and that becomes your foundation, you're going to still make mistakes. You're not going to always make the right decisions. You're not going to always make the right step. Or like Laura said, you might turn around on this road and say, hey, you know what, I'm cool on this. But at the end of the day, love brings you back. And the thing of it is to show people that no matter what you do in life, if you love Christ and if your heart is pure toward God, all the rest, he'll work it out and he'll show it to you and teach them how to develop a relationship with God, because you have to have a relationship with God to understand love. There's no way you can get into a relationship with a man or a woman and you don't talk to them and you don't build the relationship in order for you to be able to feel that love on a consistent basis, in order for you to be able to witness to that. And my job is to constantly remind my brothers and sisters of that love, encourage them, let them know that it doesn't matter, you're going to make it. So that's on that side of it. That's what I do every day, counseling, yeah. I mean, all of the above. But at the end of the day, did I impute the love of Christ? Did I demonstrate that to my people that I came in contact with? I don't care if it was the perfect stranger. Did I encourage them with a smile? Did I embrace them? Did I tell them it's going to be okay? Did I give them hope? And those are the questions that I have to ask myself at the end of the day, at the start of the day. Lord, you lead me, you direct me. Like she said, a board meeting with God in the morning. You have to have that in life in order to do, and in order to travel down this road less traveled. And many will not do it because of the experiences that they've had with human mankind and the hurt that we're going to experience, and that's what we don't even understand, that we live through each other. We pour into each other, or we suck out or drain, you know, whatever you are, whether you are a conduit or whether you're the one that's, you know, the leech, you know, and you have to understand your whole total surroundings. And and know that in this walk of life that there's just going to be people that will not receive you. There's going to be people that will shun you, that will talk about you, but can you still love them in spite of this? And that's what I have to teach my people. That's my responsibility to my brothers.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Well, before I go on to Sean, to the question I have for Sean, I just want those that are listening, if you have a question, I will open up for some questions for author Laura C. Bullock in regards to her book, All Grown Up, or if you have a question for Pastor Simone Hawkins or for Sean Pearson. So after we ask Sean this question, if you're interested, I will open the lines and I will just talk about the four last numbers of your phone number. And if you have a comment or a question, then we certainly welcome you. So this is Vertical Live Presents All Grown Up. And I want to ask you, Sean, because we were talking about the population you dealt with and how there's the spirit of the accountability is there. So what is your responsibility, and what happens when someone says, I just can't do it right now, or they can't live up to just being the accountability on that campus? What is your responsibility to them, even for the ones that don't make it?
It is, just as Pastor said, to love them unconditionally. The individuals that are not ready, most of them self-select to leave the program. We have had, over the 3 years, probably a handful that we have had to terminate their participation because it created a danger for them or for others for them to remain on campus. It's never ended in a way that didn't create an opportunity for them to return when they were ready. What comes to mind is the scripture that says, let our light shine. before men that they would see our good works and glorify the Father. And in that, we have a responsibility that's twofold. One is to always remember that it's God that gets the glory for the great things and the greatness that is in us. And so that requires that we maintain a level of humility, and it's not about us. It's not what we've done on our own, but it's what we've been able to do by his grace and his mercy.
Yes.
And when we remember that he loved us unconditionally, it makes it easier for us to love the men unconditionally. It makes it easier for me to not want to respond in anger or emotion or frustration when they're not living up to their expectation. Beyond the accountability, it's helping them recognize that there's greatness in them as well, despite what they've been through, despite where they might be on their journey right now. There's a definition and description of who they are according to what God has said and not what man has said. And so helping them to recognize that, when they catch hold of that, it makes it so much easier for them to walk this journey of transformation, but they've got to believe it. And so our responsibility is in modeling that behavior and not being afraid to say when we mess up or when we fall short and when we're having struggles. You know, being owners and staff doesn't mean that we're perfect. It means that we're committed to doing the work, and so we have to be vulnerable enough to share our stories. When we've had difficult times or when we're having difficult times, and share that in a communal way that says, I'm no better than you are, and God has loved me in spite of myself, just the way that he is loving you in spite of yourself. So let's take this journey to healing together.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Well, ladies, I want to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'd like to ask for some of our callers if they have questions. So I'm going to go for just a few couple of seconds so we can honor our sponsor and give some information here. So hold on, everyone.
Did you know that Champion Travel allows you to plan your trip right on their website? Pick a trip and put $100 down to reserve your seat. Then you can make monthly payments on that trip. Contact Valerie Champion at TravelChampionStyle@gmail.com or call 678-949-1416.
And thank you, Valerie Champion, for that commercial for Vertical Live Radio. This is Vertical Live Presents All Grown Up, and we're talking to author Laura C. Bullock about All Grown Up, The Road Less Traveled. And we have featured guests Pastor Simone Hawkins and Sean Pearson, who is the CEO of Zion Institute. And so I'd like to see if some of our audience has some questions. So when I just call out the last four numbers of your phone number, if you have a question or a comment, then definitely we would love to hear it. So I'm calling out 8954 is the last four of the phone number. Caller 8954, do you have a question or a comment for our guests?
Wow. I mean, this is just delicious. I mean, what everybody's talking about right now, I think we all need this to get to the next level. This is Paulette Bo. Hi, Celeste. How are you? Thank you
Hi,
so
Paulette.
Much.
Hi, Paulette. How are you?
I'm good. I just want to say that, you know, it is a journey, and you really have to, as the author said, you have to have a board meeting with yourself and with God, and you need people around you, people like yourself, I mean, around you to really get to the next level. In short, I'm on a journey, Celeste, you know, with my son. He was said to have ADHD. He couldn't learn, whatever. And I was like, God, if you help me with this, I will find kids that have the same issue and try to help them in any way that I can. And God has helped my son, and he's doing much better now. So I've been going out into the park weekly, and I've just been reading with the kids and, You know, I just see the hunger. I mean, they're just coming in groves because if they read well and they understand the text, and I give them a prize. And Phyllis has helped me monetarily with this, like giving me FCAT test books. Thank you so much, Celeste. I really, really, really appreciate it. You know, I'm on a shoestring budget that I work every week. And I just see that it's a journey because you'll go to people and then they'll be like, well, you're doing a great job, but they're not going to help you in the process. They'll just pat you on the back. And it's like, I need help. Can you help me to reach, you know, like where I live or even further? You know, and but God makes a way. He makes provisions because I've been doing it for 4 months now. I just kind of go in the park and I just read to kids and they just know that I'm going to come every Tuesday and they just come and I've just been doing it. And my question is, like, how do you, like, really stand? Because, you know, a lot of times it's hard for me and I call Celeste. Don't yeah. I call you Celeste? I call you, and you.
Yeah.
And she gives me the power. When I talk to her, I'm just like, okay, I could go again, you know. And mm-hmm. I really wish that you lived like in Florida, or I lived where you were, because I just need that every single day, you know. I need it because this is a big thing. This is a big thing. Reading with kids, and you know, because a lot of them, especially the boys, they cannot read. They're reading, they don't get it. They don't understand. What are you reading? Do you understand? You're reading the words, but do you understand? What is the author? Who is the author? How, you know, how does the environment work with the story? What is the contrast? You know, things like that that's been asked in the FCAT, you know? And how do you, like every day, like what, you have to have a conversation with yourself. Like what should you say to yourself every day, just to like empower yourself to just keep moving regardless of what happens? That's my question.
Well, I'll chime in
to anyone on the panel. Yeah.
Okay. So, what God is doing when He gives you a vision of that sort, you're never going to ever have the means yourself to do it. Any vision God gives you is bigger than you. And when you're doing those kinds of things, you have to remain with that mindset and understand that your faith in Him, because of your heart being pure towards the children that you're pouring out to, He's going to open the doors as long as you keep taking the steps forward and don't get frustrated in the process. Don't allow closed doors, because those doors He probably didn't want you to go in anyway. He will open the doors, but what He's doing is stretching your faith in Him to just continue to say, Lord, I know this is what You called me to do. And that takes courage. That takes, you know, your constant meeting with Him in the morning, and then in the afternoon when you start feeling like, okay, I'm overwhelmed. You got to stop and breathe, because we still get overwhelmed when doing these things, and get back in the line and make sure you're not. And that's what Laura was, the author was explaining to me when we were having our sit down, is that maybe it might be too many things that's all over the place, that you got to get aligned so that you can have your faith in that area to keep growing and growing, because He always wants us to grow from glory to glory. And in those glory, in those moments, it takes faith in order for, because we can't see how it's going to get done. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it, but He's going to do it. So if I could leave you with anything, just continue to thank God for the faith that you already have and the increasing of your faith in Him to make the way. And He will always show up for you every time.
Great. That's a great question,
Paulette. I
want
to encourage you to write the vision and make it plain, Paulette, because if you can write it down, then that makes you more able to articulate it to others. Keep telling your story. Yeah. Keep telling so that folks can hear what you're doing, so that their hearts can be touched and moved to help you mobilize the vision. it is always going to be greater than you, as Pastor said. But where he gives you vision, he will also give you provision. But you don't want to sit on what he's giving you. Write it out. Mm-hmm. Make sure that it's clear. We teach a training called Spirit of Excellence Business Training, where we walk folks through that journey of taking it from a concept to actually having a business plan and an asset map that helps you identify exactly what resources you need. But then you seek out those people who have those resources specifically. It's not always just money. You can leverage the intellectual capital that other people have. You can leverage other programs that are existing, other resources that may be out there. It might be an opportunity for you to partner what you're doing with a school in your community and use their books and their space and their resources and get some other volunteers mobilized to help you do the work that you're doing. But you have to be able to write it down and articulate it in a way that others see the vision and understand it, and they can become ambassadors with you.
You see, that's what Celeste told me, and I actually got a template from Google, and I wrote it down and I saved it. But this is my issue with partnering with people. I want them to know what the vision is. I have a child that somebody said that he could not learn. He can't read. ADHD, and there's other kids. Sometimes I get people that want to work with me, but they want me to do what they want, like their vision. But it's not, I want people to know that these kids can learn. Don't put them aside. Don't medicate them. Give them the time, okay? We live in a microwave society. Every child does not learn that way. And that's my story that I tell people. And then, you know, sometimes they want to come, like, along with me, but I want to make sure that they understand that pinpointing, and I want you to recognize these kids that's underserved, okay? So, you know, I just have to mm-hmm. be very careful who I partner with.
This is Laura, the author. And so, Paulette, I would agree with what Sean is sharing with you. And what this should do, having this vision written out, what it will do is it will identify the type of skill sets and resources that you need. And I would venture mm-hmm. to say that everyone that you're connected to right now is not going to be the people that helps you with this vision.
Right.
When God gives you yeah. something this okay. great, when it's mm-hmm. this great, it is very lonely. And I'm sure mm-hmm. Sean can attest
okay.
to this. It is very lonely. I work with a population of women in another project that I have that have been incarcerated, and these women mm-hmm. have lost their children. Society treats them as if they're a throwaway population. We don't need to do anything for them. We don't need to let them back into society. We don't need to let them vote. We don't need for them to have jobs. We don't need them to have a place to live. And so what I've learned over 7 years of working with this population is none of the people that were initially with me are still there. This project, this purpose that God has placed on my life is so big that those people were too small. They were small thinkers. They're thinking at the very mm-hmm. micro level, or macro level. Mm-hmm. You're thinking in this big, I want to serve all children with autism or ADHD, and they're going to be prosperous and they're going to be thriving, and not everyone is on board with that. And so what you're going to be challenged with is, how do I move into a place where this population has value and worth, and it's not going mm-hmm. to be with the people that you're with right now? They don't understand that, and you know, you've said that. You said they don't understand. You're absolutely right. I just want you to know those are not the right people, and keep it moving, because you will find those people. They and Pastor Simone said it, God will open the right doors. But you have to be willing mm-hmm. to go through that door, even though it feels uncomfortable, even though it's completely strange, even though you don't know what to say, what to do, how to act, you still have to walk through that door. And
come
so,
on. Ooh, okay.
Be courageous mm-hmm. enough. Be courageous enough to walk through that door and not know one soul. If the check you need is through that door, you got to have enough courage to go through that door and get it. Don't worry about what you're going to say. God will give you the right words. You'll say it.
But well, I'm glad you told me that because God told me to go door to door, and I'm scared. He told me to go door to door in my community and talk to these people. And I'm like, God, please don't tell me to do that. I don't want to do that. You know, how do I knock at these people's door? You know, so thank you for that. That's going to help.
You're welcome. Yes.
Well, that's Paulette, just what Laura and what we've been talking about, you know, that is the road less traveled. That's the road less traveled. If he says go to door to door, that's the road less traveled for you at this time. And yeah, it is hard and it is strange, you know, but, you know, then again, you don't know what will happen, what door will open. As Pastor Hawkins said, he will open the door. Mm-hmm. You got to be willing to take that road less traveled. That uncomfortable road less traveled. So, Paulette, thank you for asking the question and calling in. I appreciate you for being a longtime supporter of Vertical. I really appreciate you. And of course, you know, we're always going to be open for more questions from you, even when we're not on the radio. So thank you again. I think we have time to get one more question. I'd like to see if we can get one more question in before we start to close out. So the next caller, the last four numbers on your phone is 9112. Do you have a comment or a question for our ladies? Okay, that's fine. If you're just listening, that's great. I'll try one more. And the caller, your last four numbers is 7480. Do you have a comment or question for our ladies?
Ashley, hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Hello. How's everyone doing this evening?
Doing great. Thank you.
Fine. How are you?
I'm good. I actually am a big fan of Ms. Bullock, who is actually my mother.
Is this Tiffany?
No. It's
yeah.
Me.
Okay.
So I
know it was one of them.
I just wanted to make a just a brief comment. My mom actually started talking about this book, and like she mentioned, she put it on the shelf, and then she went back at it again, and she put it back on the shelf, and then she went back at it again. I just basically wanted to tell her that I am overly proud of her. She has come and gone through a lot, and I am honored to be her daughter, just watching everything that she's gone through and so much I've learned from just the conversations that we've had. So I basically want to let my mother know that I'm absolutely proud of her, and I want her to continue the good work that she is doing, everything from writing the book to even working with the women, the population that she's actually currently working with now. Because it is challenging, and my mother, she has such a big heart that she believes that these people deserve a second chance in life. So I want to applaud her on everything that she is doing, and I'm very proud of her going into 2018 with launching this book. So I wanted to tell her that I am absolutely proud of her and to continue up the good work.
Oh, that's
thank
awesome.
You, baby.
Thank
I appreciate
you so much
you.
For that comment. Yes, that's a great comment. That's great when your children recognize the good things that you're doing. It's often challenging for children when their parents are, you know, have other services that they perform, and it's often very hard. So that is wonderful to hear that for you, Lawrence. I know that in doing a lot of the work that we do as far as being online, that it's always great when I see that people respond to what you do, and I think that's wonderful. Now, I want to close out the program with saying that, you know, remember that Laura C. Bullock has just finished her book, All Grown Up. And Laura, if you have any other comments for us regarding your book, and when is your book set to launch?
The book, we're doing pre-sale orders from January 17th through February 15th. And the book launch party is February 17th. And I encourage folks to follow me on Facebook at Laura C. Bullock, LLC, and stay posted with those dates and links in which you can buy the book, links that you could have a coffee chat session with me or attend the book launch party. So I'd be very excited to meet you there. And the coffee chat is, we're going to have two. We're going to have one online, and we're going to have one here in Phoenix. So virtual guests and virtual followers will be able to enjoy that coffee chat session with me as well, and we'll have a date for that, and we'll be posting that through our social media and as well on the website. So feel free to connect with us on that. And then I want to just share that I think this book is just really such a timely project, because I know as well as the next person that we all feel like we're in a time where people are not operating with hope.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They feel lost. They feel stuck.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what to do, what moves to make. And I think it's important to be able to share that this book will meet you wherever you are on your journey. So I think I mentioned earlier that it's a very timeless project, meaning that you can pick it up today and go through it and feel grown up, and then you experience something significant, and you may feel like you're not equipped. You may need to reread this book, and you can do that and pick up something new from it the second time around. I think this book will set you up for what's to come. So if you read it and you think, well, you know, it's kind of not me right now, but you anticipate some type of a challenge and you remember what you read in this book and go, I'm going to go back and get that book because now I need it. It will help you realign yourself with the principles that sometimes we conveniently set aside. You know, I think Pastor Hawkins said, you know, sometimes we allow these distractions to come into play, and really where those distractions are coming from is that we've set aside those principles we know we should be operating under. It was easier, right? It's, you know, the road less traveled. It's easier to do this. It's easier to say to operate in revenge. It's easier to say that don't matter today. It's easier to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to share with the group that this book is very timely right now. I would love to say that I had the insight that on this exact date and at this exact time this book was to be released, but we, based on all of our conversations today, that this was orchestrated by God. I experienced what I experienced at the time that I experienced so that I can write what I wrote, so that you can read what I wrote. So it is very much orchestrated that everything happens in its own time. And as my daughter said, I put this book on the shelf 4 or 5 or 6. I mean, I even made a commitment to myself. I'm going to go away. I'm going to finish it. I went away for the weekend to finish it. I brought it back, and it went back on the shelf. So I hadn't experienced all the things yet. I hadn't lived. I hadn't transitioned or transformed into this grown-up person yet. But the moment that happened, the book was finished. And so you're going to be blessed by the book. I'm excited to release it. It's been a long labor of love. And so I just want to share with you that I hope that you're able to get from it what you need. And as I said, I think it's going to be something that you carry with you for quite some time. And you're going to think of other people that should have it, which I'm excited about that too, because that means you'll share it or you'll buy them a copy. So I just know that this is going to be a project that is well received. And so I thank everyone for their time today and listening.
Okay, and we will be at Vertical sharing the dates and times for Laura's event. So we'll be making sure that all of you will be up to date on when her events are happening and when the book is ready for pre-sale. So definitely want everyone to buy a book for yourself and for a friend to share with them as well. Yes, most definitely. So, ladies, this is the time of the program that I actually have guests give any last thoughts. I haven't found a best way to say last thoughts. So, but your last inspirational thoughts for this program that you'd like to share with us. And so I'd like to start with you, Sean. Do you have any last thoughts for our audience today?
I would just like to encourage the listeners to give themselves permission to walk into the greatness that lies within them and to certainly take advantage of purchasing the book, because All Grown Up has some great lessons that will help them on that journey. And I thank you, Celeste, for the opportunity to be with you all on the show today.
Thank you, Sean. Appreciate you having the time to be on here and to share with my audience and with sharing with Laura as well. And Pastor Hawkins, do we still have you, Pastor Hawkins?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay, yes, I hear you.
Oh, no, I have pushed mute. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
My biggest thing is to encourage the listeners to get this book. As Ms. Sean said, you know, this, allow yourself the opportunity to grow. Don't be afraid to move forward and allow this book and everything about this book to minister to you, and be vigilant in sharing. Be willing to share with the next person, because we are helpers one to another. And I just love wins at the end of the day. I say it everywhere I go. Love wins. And sharing this book, getting this book, it imputes love.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'd like to thank all of our guests again. I'd like to thank our audience for supporting Vertical Live Radio and our endeavors to present some wonderful, inspiring individuals to keep empowering people and enhancing their knowledge. One of the last things I'd like to leave with you tonight is the part of the synopsis of Laura's book. And again, her book is All Grown Up, The Road Less Traveled. And that is, regardless of where you are on your journey, this book will find thought-provoking principles, exercises to challenge your current state of understanding and knowledge that empowers you to embrace your God-given gifts, to claim your inheritance by choosing the road less traveled. And thank you again for our listeners who made comments and questions. And again, Vertical will be publishing more information regarding the book All Grown Up, where you can see Laura in person, her online coffee chat, and her her local coffee chat. We're looking forward to giving you that information. And ladies, again, thank you so much for taking your time out tonight to be part of this presentation. And everybody, I'd like you to keep watching Vertical Live Radio. And we hope that you'll come again and you'll participate. And again, as we said, let's purchase this book, All Grown Up, as it becomes available, and share it with friends so they too can take the road less traveled. Thank you again, Laura, for being a part of our broadcast today and sharing your book with us.
Thank you so much, and I thank your audience for listening.
Great. Good evening, everybody, and have a wonderful evening.